Now, this morning, I got to preface the homily because my aim this morning is to help us understand a couple of major differences between the Catholic faith and the Protestant faith. Now, when I do this, I'm not putting the Protestant faith down. That's not what I'm doing. To point out difference doesn't mean to put down. But neither does creaming differences together mean you've come to the truth. You don't cream difference and say, now we're all reconciled. No, that's based on denial and ignorance. It doesn't cause unity. That's a false unity. And so if I point out a difference here, let's face it, in the 16th century, Catholics and Protestants, they actually started killing each other over these differences. Now, hopefully we've advanced beyond that. We're not doing that anymore. But that testifies there's very real differences between us. And I just want to point some of those out this morning. And it starts with this very odd text that I just read to you from John's Gospel. Jesus was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all, and he did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. That text has always sent me, it's a conundrum. It's like he didn't trust himself to anyone. And yet here we are from this altar, he's entrusting himself to all of you. How did that happen? Well, I want to tell you, everything I'm about to say to you comes from the scriptures. I didn't read it in a theological book. You just slow this down enough and you start paying attention and you can get an answer to that question. How is it that Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all? He did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it very well. How do we get from that to, from this altar, he's giving himself to all of you very generously? Spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the quick answer. It was the deed of Judas. That's how he got into our hands, was the deed of Judas. And the deed of Judas, as we know, on Holy Thursday night, when he was handed over, that happened. It was brutal and it was ugly. That's why he didn't entrust himself to them. So we got to look at this, like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Well, let's go back to the beginning. The Father sent his Son to us. How does Jesus even get into this world? Period. The Son of the living God. The Father announced his Son, pure and holy, into the pure, holy, graceful womb and hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's how he did it. He didn't just indiscriminately throw his Son at us and he just kind of rolled into the world like we're some kind of a mosh pit and he just jumped into us in utter chaos. He entrusted his Son to the pure, sinless womb and hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and for a time to the sanctified, holy, virginal, chaste heart of Saint Joseph. That's called the Holy Family. We call it holy for a reason. It is holy. Now, as we know, if you look at the story, all I'm doing, I'm taking all this from the Bible. What happens? Well, at a certain point, when the time came, Jesus left Nazareth. We know he was baptized by John the Baptist, and that out to the desert for 40 days, and then he goes into his public ministry. That's when the 30 years of the hidden life ends, and he starts to come out into the public and preach. But something very fascinating started, because we're told here he wouldn't entrust himself to just everyone indiscriminately, but he did, if you recall, call to himself 12 apostles. He called to himself 12 apostles. They're named in the scriptures. He had other disciples, yes, but these 12, everything Jesus wanted to give to this world, he entrusted to these 12. Everything. Because he gave himself to these 12. Jesus gave himself to these 12. He entrusted himself to them. We hear this. Why do you speak to them in parables? Well, I want them to see and not see. They'll hear and not understand. But to you, I'm making it clear, right? He's explaining it to the apostles. He's giving himself to the apostles. They're getting to know him. And there's an old saying in Catholic theology, nemo dat quod non habet. No one gives what he doesn't have. Jesus gave himself to the 12, and one of them betrayed him and handed him over. Handed him over to the scribes, the Pharisees, the Roman soldiers, and we know what happens on Good Friday. That's what happened. He was betrayed by someone to whom he entrusted himself. This is a very important step, by the way, because the same gesture that Judas used to hand over Jesus, pay attention here, Jesus, as his minister, the ministerial priesthood, is going to give himself to me as he did to the 12, and I'm going to hand him over to you. Just pay attention. It's in the Bible. That's how it works. Jesus called to himself the 12. That's the ministerial priesthood. He entrusted himself to them. One of them betrayed him by handing him over. That same gesture is what I will do. I'm going to hand him over to you. But there's a difference now. There is a big difference. And that difference is when Jesus went to the cross, yeah, our ancestors murdered him unjustly. But he was raised from the dead, and that destroyed all that evil, so that we, through baptism, would become sanctified and full of grace, just as the Blessed Mother was in the beginning. And now, when I hand him over to you, you're a sanctified people because of what he did there. And we're at peace. That makes us sanctified through baptism. We are baptized into his death, so as to rise with him holy and full of grace. And here it comes, same gesture as Judas, but with now a renewed outcome through baptism, the body of Christ. Amen, Jesus. I don't want to do that to you. I want to receive you with love into my heart like the Blessed Mother did. I love you, Jesus. Welcome. Take up your residence within me. I want you to lay your head down and have a place to rest. The body of Christ. Amen. Yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. And he labored very hard to make that possible. We are a sanctified people now. because of what he accomplished on Calvary. That's the difference. He redeemed the deed of Judas, which was a betrayal, to actually become the gesture by which I, in the ministerial priesthood, hand him over to you now as a sanctified, holy people who love Jesus. Now, here comes a real big difference between the Catholic faith and the Protestant. The Protestant Reformation got rid of the ministerial priesthood. They don't have it. And they don't have the Eucharist, and they don't have the confessional. You don't give what you don't have. They don't have the Eucharist. Jesus entrusted himself to the 12. The 12 entrusted to the whole world all the sacraments, the Eucharist, baptism, confirmation, confession, all of it. The New Testament was given to us by the preaching of the apostles. Everything Jesus wanted to be given to the world came through us, through the apostles. And the Protestants got rid of all of that in the Reformation. We still have it. Jesus gives himself into my hands as a sacramental gift by which now the redeemed deed of Judas, I hand him over to you. And by the resurrection, he gives life to you who have been sanctified and are full of grace. Now that is why we have to go to confession first before we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We're no longer sanctified. I know we have a temptation to go like therapeutic, psychological, like he loves me just the way I am. But that's not true. He doesn't coddle our ego. If he was coddling our ego, I don't think he would have cleansed the temple. That's not the way you endear yourself to people. He's trying to sanctify us and make us holy so that when he comes into our lives, he's at home. He's at home in us, a dwelling place. That's what he wants. He simply wants to be with us. And that's the gift of the Eucharist. And here's another difference, by the way, between the Catholic faith and the Protestant. With this, I'll conclude. Did you know that the Muslim Quran refers to the Christian faith and the Jewish faith as the people of the book? Now, that fits the Protestant denominations. If you go into their churches, most of them don't have an altar. They just have a pulpit because all they have is the book. Let me read to you Catechism, Article Number 108. Still, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. That's our catechism. And here's the big difference. Jesus did not come to give us a book. He didn't give us a book. He didn't come and say, here, Peter, take this book. This is the New Testament. Take this. He didn't come to give us a book. He came to give us himself. He wants us to be his trusted friend. And he comes to you from this altar, not just giving you words, but a life to back them up. You know words are cheap. We all know this. Words are cheap unless there's a life behind them. Well, I'm telling you, he didn't come to give us a book. The only time I remember him writing anything was when the woman caught in adultery, they're presenting him, and he knelt down and he wrote in the sand. That says something about words, doesn't it? They're cheap. It's word and sacrament. Scripture and tradition. Here it is, tradition. Trotto, trottere, trottity, trottitus, to hand over. Here it comes, the body of Christ tradition, the height of tradition right here, were not sola scriptura. Because Jesus didn't come to give us a book. He came to give us himself. I call you friends. And he does that from here. That's very Catholic. And that's good news. We are sanctified. So, brothers and sisters, I'd invite you today. When the minister says, the body of Christ, welcome him. Let your amen mean something and say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I want you in my life. Welcome. Take up your dwelling place within me, Jesus.